Mr. Speaker, I rise in support of this budget so ably crafted and skillfully presented by the Honourable Prime Minister and Minister of Finance, the Honourable Kennedy Anthony. Mr. Speaker, it seems that this budget has something for everyone. No sector has been left untouched. A quick perusal of the budget will, for instance, identify that there is housing assistance and increased allocation for the elderly. So persons who have reached towards the end of their days, 60 years and over, having worked diligently at a time when there were scant provisions made by the state, be it in the banana fields or as village workers, and find that the houses are in a state of disrepair, they can turn to the state in their various constituencies and get some assistance by way of repairing their homes. There is a provision, health care for the elderly, and that for me strikes a particularly responsive chord, Mr. Speaker, because as is well known, this government, in its efforts to ensure better governance, greater accountability and access to the constituents, instituted a system of constituency days by which all 17 opposition for gouvernement received $30,000 allocation so they could meet their constituents and get advice, etc., etc., through the Office of the Speaker. So the Office of the Speaker meets this allowance, and my constituency day happens to be on a Friday. And on the Friday, one of the recurring themes, expressions of concern is that of persons with diabetes and hypertension, mountini pisadu, avec mountini pressure. Particulièrement les vieillesses. Et qu'ils passent trouver une manière pour payer l'argent pour ces pilules-là, pour trouver une manière pour sa fille docteur pour payer remède. So, Mr. Speaker, this first pilot project, $3.6 million, to test firstly everybody in St. Lucia with a suspicion of having this illness. Now, when you think about it, people begin to question the commitment of this government to the poor. Everybody, the majority of St. Lucians we know, it could be because of lifestyle, etc., but the fact is people are ailing with hypertension and diabetes with nowhere to turn. That is a thing of the past. And beginning next week, which is the 2nd of May, structures and mechanisms are being put in place by the Ministry of Health so that you can be screened. Having been screened, you shall now have access to medication to treat those diseases. The elderly, again, those persons, because of certain circumstances, getting a small bit of state assistance. This administration, this Kenyan administration, increased the allocation twice in a 9-year period. Twice. Upon assuming office, I think it was $45, went up to $60, now it's $90, depending on your personal circumstance, depending on the size of your family, etc., you get that allowance. But this man further outdone himself. He's increased the allocation so that more persons who are outside of that safety net can now be brought on board. I already have 10 names in Bagono, So that extra $200,000, as you begin to look at it, I am seeing that those new persons who come aboard, that is persons who have come to me, Kimalier, so there are ready names waiting, Mr. Speaker, out of the Friday clinics that we conduct. However, Mr. Speaker, there's one point which I wish to quickly allude to. I'm sorry, Comrade Minister of Health, but I've said it before in private cabinet. I think it's incumbent upon the state now again. The public servants who are responsible for administering this program are not being fair to the elderly by constantly claiming that because of the absence of police protection, they can no longer come to the district to dispense that money. I think it's unfair. $60, $90 a month. Take a bus and from Babono, from Diba, and come down to the country somehow. It's pathetically unfair. If it were a public servant, a fellow public servant, somebody else better connected, somebody else with voice and could advocate on their own behalf, some mechanism would have been found whereby the payments would have continued to be made to those persons to point nearer to their homes. I know some of them don't have bank accounts. I know some of them may be difficult in places, especially when you don't have credit unions. But I have said this before for the past year, I've been saying it. And we get blamed as elected officials, whereas it is the public servants very often who are resistant and ought to be creative to help to be responsive for poor people. And that is one such case. The absence of police escorts to take this little bit of money once a month to Babono cannot justify that those persons are spending $20 out of it sometimes to do one or two trips aborted to the Castro Town Hall to get that money to be turned away and to come back two or three times. It cannot be right. But back to what we're talking about, that those provisions are being made and being made all the time with great sensitivity to the needs of the marginalized and the poor in our society. It has something for everyone. Margaret Rose home, we know the conditions of that old home, built from colonial times, bequeathed to the state of St. Lucia in Soufre, and the conditions that those persons live in. We cannot keep treating our elderly like this. They've worked, they've contributed to the development of this country. And so when the time comes, we must let them live the final days with some dignity and with some pride. At last, this government is doing something about it. To achieve $12 million, a replacement home is now being constructed in the Viewport area. I know, having had an old aunt, whom I used to go and see from time to time, at that home in Soufre, I know the conditions firsthand. I know, for instance, that they actually used to grumble. The Balegita is here because there's a beach and they're very nice and very comfortable by the beach. But the reality is they will get a geriatric hospital doubling up as a home for the elderly where they will get palliative care and therefore they can live their lives, the final days in some care being taken care of. So let us disabuse our minds of this notion about the government of caring for people. For the youth, notwithstanding all the money being spent, you should have seen Bosseju 2 weeks ago, full of the elderly enjoying themselves. I'm not going to say sorry. Stadium. Getting once a year a sense of validation, a sense of pride, a sense of self-worth. To win the race. But you see those old persons. And that stadium was put there by this administration. Bosseju, that's obvious, lights and everything for the first time. But the real test of youth and sports development ultimately is what we do at the community level. And that has not been left behind, in spite of the millions of dollars being spent in preparation for World Cup cricket. $3.5 million, a record allocation for the provision of sporting facilities at the community level, so that the young persons who would be persuaded otherwise to live on the block and to do other things, to be miscreants and so on, now are being given a chance, a positive avenue to play basketball once their lights on the court, to play cricket, etc., etc. Everybody, there's something there for everybody. I'm just being reminded that Red Ferrer is doing a fine job as president of a boxing association, and he takes his boxing exhibitions around the island. A month ago, it was a tour in Barbados, and the lights at our multi-purpose court, Mr. Michel Field, and we went, and there was a boxing exhibition. What better way to channel the aggression, the excess aggression of young men, but to put them in a disciplined sport of boxing every evening and put a gym, etc. And there are other developments in the Barbados area in this regard, which I'm going to leave for the appropriate time to name, not now, but we shall see. The YAP, training for youth, hotels and their development. The offsprings of the split banana farmers. Because those banana farmers, all this noise we have about bananas, how many young persons, having graduated from SAAFA or having graduated from universal secondary education, this grandstanding and this nostalgia about bananas. How many of you? So therefore what we're saying quite simply is we must retool them, we must give them different skills, and that's what the YAP is about. So the YAP through the National Skills Development Center is making a provision to train those young persons to ensure that they have the requisite skills to enter into the new industry, the new hospitality industry. There's something there for everyone. Let's take workers, the workers of this country, working and being exploited. I can tell you they cannot see the signs of economic revival. They cannot see where the economy is, who is benefiting. Who is benefiting? Today is Friday afternoon. If you want to know who is benefiting, you go to the Bank of Solution in Brazil right now and the land outside. The only branch that opens on a Saturday morning, you go there tomorrow morning and the land are outside the bank. And those are construction workers bringing the weekend check to the bank. Who is benefiting? You look in the morning and you see all the freighter trucks. You see all the pickups. Loaded with people at the back, going to work and coming back. You go to some of Sufre right now and stand up in Sufre. And go there and ask you any of those stuff there. As the people come back from hotel construction, and you will see the multiplicity of three ton trucks and little open back pickups full of people coming to and from work. That is who benefits. And those persons, having been exploited, having had a living wage, this government is now saying the minimum wage is being increased to $55. That's the government that doesn't care? Those same persons, one set of workers have one set of people's pay, another set have a different set of allocation fee. Now why must it be that the clerical worker, that a public service worker get one set of allocation of digital fee for 21 days minimum, and the other person only getting 15. This government is saying this is nonsense. They're all workers. And if all workers, once the law has been approved, and this is what we are about in terms of a new policy, announced in this budget, is to ensure that everybody gets equal treatment under the law by way of liberty. The government cares for all sectors. Musicians and entertainers. Jamaica has a multi-billion dollar entertainment industry. Every year, we play calypsos. Some people sing all kind of foolishness and songs which has no commercial value. But there's some great calypsos and great creations. Every year it goes down the drain. There's no recording industry. They can't have a proper CD. And those songs and those creations and those compositions have commercial value. And the government is saying, hey, wait a minute. Some incentives to the entertainers will help us to develop a cultural industry by which our compositions, by which our songs, by which our artists will get validation, and so we'll be able to export songs from Sinusha. Why not? What is wrong with this? Consumers. You hear about high fuel bills and so on. But they passed the act. They passed the Cheap Supply Act. Guaranteeing us like a 15% rate of return. It took this government last year for the Prime Minister's intervention with the new select directorate to ensure that somehow we looked at the question of the tariffs what to be paid. We came to the House in December. They start, except this one was not there yet. They agreed to the formula by which the excess rate of return will be redistributed. They agreed. Yesterday one of them stood up there and said, well, why are you giving it to hotels? Why are you giving it to manufacturing? Why don't you give it to poor people? But you agreed in the debate in December that the way to do it is 50% for the productive sectors to make them CSME ready, to make them more productive, because after all they pay the greatest burden. After all, they are the ones who cross-subsidize domestic consumers. You agreed. So they are the grandstanding that they should give them more. I mean, this is basic common sense that if domestic consumers are consuming a third of a kilowatt hours from a productive sector under the formula, there's 4.1 million. It's also logic that the productive sector will get 4 million and the consumers will get 1 million. It stands to reason. And people will welcome in the budget the reduction in their bill. So if Iran and the US somehow can resolve their issue through diplomatic means, although we told, don't say that, a lot important. So c'est pour ça là, il va avoir CNN, hein? C'est pour ça, TV, c'est pour ça, pas CNN, c'est ça là. They don't see nothing international. Right. So the price of oil for them, it doesn't matter. But if the price of oil goes up, the money which is there in terms of a guarantee, there is a return to some back. That's when you change. There are other incentives. The car rental sector, in preparation of World Cup. Urban renewal for the city of center. There is, to cap it all across, universal secondary education, universal health care, the poor children of care. A whole UN crisis we need about subsidies and transport and so on, which I'm sure the Minister of Health and of Education will take care of. But there's an increase of subvention to care. So Mr. Speaker, I wish to end this first part of my sort of introduction to again commend the Prime Minister for his wide-ranging sensitivity in terms of all the things that he's done, which is impactful to everybody. Let us go now to the critical matter of water. We'll start with water. Substantial, substantive, ministry matters. We were told by the member for Kasri Central that water is life. And he goes on to say that when the government privatizes water, it privatizes life.
He doesn't understand what.
No. Privatize life. Solution. But that is his way of being critical of the whole effort of bringing or trusting private sector money. The answer to a problem, a long-standing problem. But once again, history is on our side. Listen to Sir John Compton, June 4th, 1995. In referring to the topic of public privatization, of public participation, and the possibility of the ownership of shares in a proposed company between KWRF and government, he gets on to this section about water, and he says that the longest journey begins with the first step, and a legal and judicial arrangement should be needed so that the first step may be taken in January of 1996. Of course, we all know that the people of St. Lucia put us out of our misery, and those foolish ideas, we all know what happened. Then he got onto WASA, as it then was. A share offering by WASA is more complex, but the task, though daunting, should not be avoided. Listen to what their leader said at the time. A share offering, in other words, getting private sector money into WASA, is more complex, but the task, though daunting, should not be avoided. The first step is an in-depth look at the management structure, etc., 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 which he proposed to say that he would do, and the structure should nevertheless, etc., etc., etc. I mean, how could somebody, when it's like each part, or maybe begin to feel and you forget what you say? I mean, why is it deliberate? And now you come back and say something else. That process, however, the government of St. Lucia has taken, and we understand this whole question of attracting private sector money into water. And we've taken a very studied, a very judicious and deliberate approach to that process. You want to come and see again? It was something said in 1995, June 14th. The legal and judicial arrangement should be made so that the first step may be taken in January 1996. A share offering by WASA is more complex than the telecoms. So he wanted to privatize KWRF. Yeah. And so that's where he was going, instead of liberalizing it. But the task, though daunting, should not be avoided. And he goes on to say what should be done. And therefore the first step is an in-depth look at the management structure, etc., etc. And the structure should nevertheless be adjusted from time to time to meet these new challenges and the responsibility. And this is what the government intends to do to start in January 1986. John Compton, Prime Minister of Solution. Former at that time. So what did we do? What did we do? We proceeded because we understand, especially in this current dry season, the problems associated with water. A problem which you said we've inherited is clear, it's obvious. First point we did is we undertook a wide-ranging consultation with all stakeholders. That consultation resulted in the publication of a national water policy for St. Lucia 2004. Every single member of the House at that time has a copy of it. Have they read it? I doubt. The policy proceeded to outline, among other things, background production, etc., etc. But look at water for sanitation, water for agriculture and food, water for industry, water for environmental sustainability, and then went on to outline what are the institutional arrangements are required for the management of the water sector. Now that's a sector. Which we inherited it, Mr. Speaker, but in debt to the tune of 74 million and counting. And let me tell you what those debts are. Those debts which we inherited from Wasco, or Wasau as it then was. Various water projects, January 1986, $9 million from the Caribbean Development Bank. The Rosal Dam, March 1990, $18 million from the Caribbean Development Bank. Rosal Dam again, July 1990, an additional $14 million this time from the World Bank. Talk about borrowing. Rodney Dead Sewage Project from Kais for Cent, March 1992, $15 million. And you go and you add and you add and you add. So there you have a company completely encumbered, not able to do anything to even pay for its utility bills, which are so critical for the pumping of the water to ensure the water comes from point A to point B. And this government now has to service those debts, but also get additional monies to put in required infrastructure. So we came and we began, as I said, to proceed. So the first thing was the water policy. Second part was to begin to look at other critical issues of infrastructural development. Infrastructural development, Mr. Speaker, which had a number of critical aspects. And permit me just to quickly run through some of those which are critical ones. The Lovell Water Supply Improvement Project, costing US $8 million, which is about to begin in about a month or so, and that is intended to alleviate the water needs to the north of the island. Understand well that the northern water supply fed from two sources, the two subsystems, the Rosal Dam and the Hill 20 system. The Rosal Dam, Mr. Speaker, capacity of 750 million gallons, has a million intake, has a TRC storage and treatment plant at Cicero, and that system produces 80% of the water to the north of the island, accounting for 90,000 of the population. Specifically, that system feeds water Castries South, Castries Southeast, Castries Central, Castries East, Castries North, and Rosalie. Out of that system can be produced 5.8 million gallons of water per day. The other subsystem, which takes part of Castries East and Babalo primarily, and that is the Hill 20 system, which comprises of an intake or a number of intakes at La Sorcier, at Talvan, Marquis, Hill 20, etc. There is a water treatment plant, of course, at Hill 20, and that produces 1.2 million gallons per day. However, because of the nature of that system, during the dry season, as we're going through right now, we are likely to lose in any one year as much as 80% reduction in the output from that dam. And so that is why this part of the island suffers so much for water every year. What's our response, Mr. Speaker? Our response is an infrastructural development or upgrade for water with four basic components. Component number one is the upgrade of a John Compton pumping station at the meter of water abstraction point, so that we could increase that capacity, and by the year 2025, we can get enough water to the system. That will be done also by way of a replacement of a standby generator to ensure that there's more efficiency at the Rosal Dam pumping station. Component number two, which is the improvement of the raw water gravity transmission pipeline at the TR Peebles plant at Cicero. And that is going to double the capacity, as I said, from 5.6, almost double, from 5.6 million gallons per day to 10 million gallons per day. So you will now find that you have twice the amount of water, so now you already have a separate project for the 20-inch pipeline. There is enough transmission capacity to ensure that that water can get up to the hotels in the north, etc., for cricket workup where there is greatest demand. The third aspect is to replace some kinks in the line where there were a number of bottlenecks, and to replace some old 18-inch pipelines with 24-inch pipelines to ensure that there is a greater and easier flow of the water without any hindrances. Fourth component, which has proved to be much more problematic, is that of the upgrade of the Mount Boca distribution line. And that entails, Mr. Speaker, putting in a new 200,000 imperial gallon steel tank at Mount Fortuny, supplemented by another tank in Babolo at Hill 20 of 100,000 imperial gallons. So by linking the two subsystems, remember I said it goes down by 80% in terms of supply every year, so that the Roseau Dam can now complement and supplement the Hill 20 water treatment plant whenever there's a dry season. That, Mr. Speaker, is going to entail considerable digging up of the road, of the old Victoria Road, the Bocas Road, and from that point onwards, it passes in the forest back up to Babolo. So we wish to implore motorists again that we know we're doing the Castries Grocery Road, we're doing some of the roads that are made at the same time. That is going to involve quite a lot of heartache, quite a lot of difficulty in terms of delays and so on. But that is not all, Mr. Speaker, by way of infrastructure development. While that is going on, to ensure that there is enough water treated and distributed in the north of the island, listening to the whole range of things which are going on in the water sector to ensure that we alleviate those problems so that water, annual water shortages is a thing of the past. Mr. Speaker, as part of the RDP 1 and 2 and 3, which is the new road that we're building, in every case we have dug down the road, we have put in and replaced the existing old corroded lines with new pipelines, in every case. You look at the road, one of the features of the road is that there are what you call a 1 meter square valve boxes, which indicates that you have a valve box, and therefore in the future, when you want to effect domestic connections, you no longer have to go back and dig up the road on both sides and so on. You have your valve boxes, you have your connections on both sides, and therefore you can connect up the road. This is a government which thinks. This is a government which plans. Then along with this, Mr. Speaker, we know that there are water problems in the two Denrys. And the Denry pipe works, the Denry water works, of $7 million has a number of features. It has held up for some time as a result of the TRRP road, which is coming from Denry to Irad St. Joseph. But the contractor CCI has installed the pipelines beneath Irad Road. The filters have not been sourced. We're talking to BNTF and TRF. And so very soon, in the Bajoli area, we shall be putting a new water treatment and storage facility to take the increased water which is coming from the Irad River, a new source of water. Then, Denry North, $2 million allocated. We've been advised that the water problem in the Denry Valley is not so much a question of distribution and storage, because they have a number of subsystems at Olio and at Gadget, etc. What they really want is mostly a question of reliability and the quality of supply. And so what we do with the $2 million is essentially to link the Denry North supply to the Denry South supply so that the excess or the new sources of water which is being tapped and the Irad River, this new intake, shall come back and shall take care of this. This is paid for by the government of St. Lucia through bonds ongoing WASCO, and they talk about loans, I see where you're going. But the people need water, but don't borrow for it. All the money they themselves borrowed, we must not borrow, people must stay without water. Hill 20, as I said, I already spoken about the Hill 20 raw water line. But in the south of the island, there is the great water treatment plant, and right? And then the woodland intake to be rehabilitated. Those two sub-projects together, being commissioned and paid for by the CDB, resulting that is going to cost something like $4 million to make sure people in Beaufort, people in Greece, people in the south of the island do have a proper water system. But that's not all, Mr. Speaker. That's not all. If we go and we produce all of this water, but we know we've been in the city of Castries and the pipes are old, the infrastructure is dated, it is leaky, and therefore a lot of the water is being lost. Cursory studies indicate, Mr. Speaker, that some 45% of the water which is produced at great cost, great energy costs, are unaccounted for. And therefore, WASCO had to take steps to put the bulk metering system in place to ensure and to find out if the water comes into the pipe at this point, it's not coming out at this other point, where are the breaks, where are the leakages, where is the water, and therefore to begin to react to it. And so there are two components to the water metering project, which is one for domestic metering to ensure that an increasing number of people can get a more reliable billing system, which they can be comfortable with, because you can't tell if you estimate the water and make them pay whatever you want. You're going to begin to complain. When there's the water, there's air in the meter. We all have that. And therefore, having a proper metering system is important for the long-term viability of WASCO to give it a more reliable billing system. So the two components of the billing system. There are a whole set of other things being done, like the Bosiju water storage tank for Cricket World Cup, which is a 450,000-gallon tank near Bosiju, which is ongoing at the moment, 60% complete. There is a water tank, installation of a 100,000-gallon water storage tank at Deriso, at a cost of $500,000, which has been commissioned recently. And so the story goes, Mr. Speaker, that there's so many things happening in water. So many projects, in spite of a cash trap situation at WASCO. Other institutions come, the poverty alleviation institutions, the social amelioration programs come to their assistance. Amamon, by the BNTF, 35 households at a cost of $110,000, never had water. Amamon is a community which has been there for years, depending on the spring at the bottom of the hill for the soil water supply. BJ Lofro, BNTF came, $500,000. And so it goes on and on. Like Forest here, for instance, there's a problem with the Forest here in the project. And again, it is the need for us to lean back and for us to ensure that there's a greater synergy between the road construction which is going on and the actual provision of water and the proper pipeline. Saltibus water storage tank, $500,000. Tank installation expected to start in June. Anslavedi water supply, which you all remember referred to. That is ongoing. Mon Lukap. And let me just stop here for a few minutes. We heard of work being done at CAP and pipelines being put all over CAP where poor people don't have water. That is again the typical disinformation of pressing emotive issues. Political opportunism. That is not true at all. There are two developments in CAP, the Mon Lukap development and the Mon Hardy development. All WASCO is doing is collaborating with the developers by way of an input of labor. All the other costs associated with the provision of water to those communities are being undertaken by those developers. Now what is wrong with this? Why mustn't CAP people get the same concessions, the same work when it's being done by all the communities in St. Lucia? The people of Talman in my constituency didn't have water. They had no connection. There was a $60,000 we were able to get from a source. WASCO came and said, we will give you free labor. We will assist you with technical assistance, but we have to pay for it. That is no different from this. And so, Mr. Speaker, by way of physical infrastructural development in the water, there's a lot more happening, but time does not come. You already heard of a special concession, a special grant given to the government of St. Lucia by the government of Spain to the Lower Fonsejar community, which is going to benefit a whole host of communities in Choiseul. Mr. Speaker, the former Prime Minister did speak to the need for some special institutional arrangements to attract private sector money in the running or the operation of our sector. And what we have devised here is no different essentially from what obtained with Luselect. If it works well for Luselect after all those years, tried and tested, why not try it for the water sector? And what we've sought to do quite simply, with the assistance of the World Bank, support from the World Bank, is to put in place offerings of shares in a new company to take care of the management of the water sector. That company will be owned in the following manner. The government of St. Lucia will own 20% of that company. But the government of St. Lucia will not be required to pay any money for those shares. Because the government of St. Lucia, the state, the people of St. Lucia already own all the operating assets by way of pipelines, etc., and the dam. But in addition, and catchment areas, the new company, having applied for and been granted an obstruction license, will pay for the water which comes out of the dam. So the pipelines and everything, which by themselves in the ground, unless they have water flowing for them, is really of no value. But government will get 20% of shares at the table without spending a dime. But the government will, in addition to this, get dividends of 20%, in addition to abstraction fees or levies for the water from the dam and the water that this company gets. This company will own 40% of the shares, this new owner-operator. In return for this 40% of the shares, this company is expected to make an investment in the water sector over a six-year period, the first 3 years of which is going to have a value of $106 million. The second 3 years, the other $60 million is going to come on the table and have infrastructure and water development over the second 3 years. Indeed, honorable members have received letters from the ministry inviting them to send proposals so that that could form the basis of the evaluation of the bids for the 40% of that company. 20% of that new company will be traded on the Eastern Caribbean Securities Exchange, on the regional securities market. So locals, anybody wants to buy, pretty much like in Luselect. Because one thing this government has always been interested in doing is ensuring that there is a new property owning class in St. Lucia, so persons with excess liquidity, excess money, and so on, when they get a 10% back fee, they don't just go and buy consumer goods with it and so on, they can invest it in shares, and that's an opportunity to buy 20% of the shares in the water company.
Foolishness about the honourable member has 15 minutes remaining to make his contribution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. An additional 20% of that company will be owned by the NIC. The operator, as I said, is going to submit a six-year development plan. That six-year development plan is intended at the end of that period to supply 95% of the water for 152,000 persons in St. Lucia. But the beauty of all of this, Mr. Speaker, is that the current debt of Wasco to the tune of 112 million, which the people and taxpayers of St. Lucia are saddled with. Because apart from those debts that I spoke about, the historical debt, which they left us with, this government has had to enter into additional debt for the 20-inch pipeline to AFD, 14 million. For the fifth water project proceeding, 15 additional million. For the normal water supply, they told you about only 8 million. And we have to borrow it. People need water. So all of those debts, put together, $112 million for WACO, which this government must service and must keep in, will now be paid for, will now be paid for from the levies which is given by the new company. And the shares, the yield from the shares from that company. So there you have it. Not only are you getting a new company, clean of any encumbrances, free to do investments of $160 million over a 6 month or a 6 year period in response to the water needs of a country. But at the same time, you are taking this yoke of taxpayers back and letting somebody else pay for it. But that's not all, Mr. Speaker. That's not all. Because we realize that there are persons who are disadvantaged, there are persons who are poor in this society, who will not be able to pay for the connection. But after all, you go into a new private sector setting. And so the World Bank, at the behest and request of the government of St. Lucia, is examining the possibility, the very real possibility of making available between 3 to 4 million US so that that can go to poverty reduction through social transformation to ensure that those persons who are below the poverty line can have access to water. That's the totality of what we're doing. Foolishness on programs about they will sell water to, I don't want to mention the gentleman's name. It makes no sense. So let us think about it. In order to listen to Speaker, it is critical that we consult with the workers. And so, beginning the 2nd of May, which is the first working day of next week, a whole roster of meetings over the 10-day period, we have planned it to meet with the unions, meet with our WASCO workers, to share with them exactly what we're sharing with the House today. But most importantly, to assure them, to reassure them that they will get all of the severance payments which is due to them. Because one of the first charges against that $106 million is to ensure that the worker's severance pay comes out of it. So no new company will come and take over and leave the workers in the lurch without ensuring that they get the severance payments. So the worker's severance payment comes first. Can we guarantee everybody is going to get work or secure their jobs? Honest truth is no. But you will get the severance and then make a fresh start, one. But think about it logically. If you're investing $160 million in new waterworks, who are the people best skilled to get those very same jobs? But the workers who are already still a customer working at the WASCO. So they'll get the severance pay, and then they will get new jobs in the new terms and conditions, and the government will ensure, to the best of its ability, through negotiations with a new company, that as many of the jobs as possible are kept. So much for this in terms of the water sector and what we're doing and where we're going. I hope that we put it to rest, but you will see a lot of this in the media as we seek to explain it. So, Mr. Speaker, there is a trend in this country of degrowth, lovely, manovly, and especially at this time, of political propagandization and opportunism. Mr. Speaker, the government of St. Lucia, upon completion of a 20-inch pipeline, the evaluation team came. They asked us for central development, met with our ministry, and asked, what else can we do for you? We're pleased with our work here and our relationship with you. What can we do for you? I said to the director, we have a parking problem in the city of Castries. Let's look at it. We did a tour of the city of Castries. The AFD gave us a grant, not loan, a grant of 158,000 euros, approximately 400,000 Eastern Caribbean dollars. Of course he's lying. That grant was intended to do five things, the five things of reference. Improvement to the urban road system. So look at the Castries Inner Relief Road, Calib Road, etc., etc. Look at the possibility of establishing bus terminals, one for the north, one for the south of the island, so the minibuses will not have to cross the city. Look at the possibility of the establishment of a Castries parking authority so that we could free up more of our law enforcement officers, our policemen, who are now saddled with the job of traffic management in the city. Consistent with what happens in any modern capital city in the world. So you put something in place where they are the parking meters, the parking vouchers, etc. They have their vehicles, they have the towing vehicles, etc. They have their vehicle found, you badly packed, they tow it away, and you must go and pay for the pound. So it becomes self-sustaining. You take that burden of the taxpayers back and you put an autonomous self-financing parking authority in place. That was the third objective. The fourth objective was the urban townscape improvement. So the sidewalks and the promenade, which the Prime Minister referred to in his budget, arises from that study. The fifth one was given the advent of World Cup cricket and jazz in the big event. Is there a possibility, is there a need, can it be feasible that there can be a ferry service from Castries to Groseilliers? This is a government which is thinking, not saying tomorrow morning. All we're saying is, if you're looking at parking in the city, let's look at the possibilities. That study has a number of stakeholders. The stakeholders to the study naturally would be the police. It would naturally be the Road Transport Board. It would naturally be the National Council on Public Transportation representing the minibus sector. It would be taxi drivers. It would be the ANC Bus Authority. It would be the Castries City Council, who now has a legal responsibility for the roads, etc. So, consultations were held with the consultants. The consultants, having done its study, came up with the idea. In response to the parking solution, there was no terms of reference. There was no request by government to look at setting up any central parking authority. Any centralized schedule for service. That was never in the terms of reference. The terms of reference was that look at parking in the city. And then it was determined that to put up one, just the Northern Bus Terminal would cost $22 million. But it would only take off 240 minibuses from the streets of Castries. And there the consultants, I think, began to run ahead of themselves. Of course, we're French consultants, it's a French grant. They started to look at other models. And so, the options report of March 2005 is an options report from a consultant, which involves the whole set of stakeholders. A consultant's report. The only thing the government and the ministry could do is let the consultations continue. When the consultation report comes up, the report was taken to cabinet. And cabinet in its wisdom from day one said, look, that does not make sense. Much as there will be difficulties with the existing transportation system. But at this point in time, with so many other pressing priorities, we have to just look at Barbados next door and see the amount of taxpayer money which goes into subsidizing a bus system which is largely inefficient and not serving the purposes for which it's intended. I met with the minibus associations. I explored with them other creative ideas. Why don't you ask for this and that to make your buses a bit bigger? Come and ask for incentives. I can't guarantee you're going to get it, but ask for this and that. So as you could move from 14 seaters to 25 seaters, 40 seaters. I sat and spoke with them and we discussed just ideas. But from hindsight, it's become very evident from a relationship of trust and working together and collaborating what the intention always was. Because we were collaborating, we were talking, we were discussing in an atmosphere of trust, like a social partner working. That's what it was. It was a collaborative effort involving all the social partners. That's what it was. So the options report came out, and it's quoting from this, not saying the truth. In fact, as the final report, which has all of the details and the costumes and so on, for all of the sidewalks and the promenade and everything which is going to be done. And I've said ad nauseum that the government of St. Lucia has no interest. The government of St. Lucia doesn't have the expertise. The government of St. Lucia doesn't have the resources or the desire to do this. Why should we disenfranchise 800 minibus drivers to go back and put one centralized service for it? Despite that. Why should we do that? Why should we do that? Why should we do that? I have said it ad nauseum. But the story doesn't just stop there, you know, Mr. Speaker. You know those buses, which a certain private person is supposed to bring to St. Lucia. They have been on the docks of Martinique for the past 9 months, eh? That story is 9 months old. C'est trop ça là, c'est pour ça que le gouvernement s'est posé pour qui? Avec Google Supermarket là. Il y a sous docks Martinique, 9 months. Every month, where are the buses? They're at the docks of Martinique. The buses, the propaganda is so great that the government and Kenyan Finance are so wicked to take over the buses that they've already bought buses with their partner and they've been on the docks of Martin for the buses. I don't mention it. You know. The same person buying the water, the same person buying the buses, same person. Is he buying the buses?
Rumor. Wicked people.
Même nous n'avons pas acheté du vin. So much for that rumor, so much for that. But the time will come when you say, you see, but the thing about it now, the boom share of your far, you have to explain me.
You can't speak.
The boom share of your far, ça a fini, hein? Your far. Right? So, Mr. Speaker, that is two of the ridiculous things we heard a while ago. But if I could be Shakespearean and just quickly quote that the presentation to me was to quote Shakespeare, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. It is just a whole blah, 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 this and that and the other, which is the same. Architects and draftsmen. Every profession has its codes of standards. They all do. An architect is not a draftsman. He's not a draftsman. So a draftsperson who has not been to university to do 6-7 years, how do you want to enjoy the same privilege and the same fee structure as an approved or certified architect? How could a nurse be a doctor? I don't understand that. How could an electrician come to after Lewis be an electrical engineer? How could a legal aid be a lawyer? I don't understand. This is the big point that is being made. And those guys sit down and listen to this foolishness and even applaud. Anyway, Mr. Speaker, in the land of the blind, you say, the one-eyed man is indeed king. So, let me just quickly move on to the substantial work which is being done in my ministry. Other works, having dealt with water, transportation, let me just go and deal with some of the substantial works which is being done. Mr. Speaker, the ministry is a multifaceted ministry. And so we have a number of programs. What impacts most of us in our various small communities is the recon and the rehab, which is the reconditioning and the rehabilitation of roads, the potholing, and out of that, we had a vastly increased allocation for this year. It's no secret the Prime Minister made it quite clear, Minister of Finance made it quite clear, that the revenue expectations outstripped projections as the economy grew. Don't think we on this side will give the Minister of Finance pressure. We pressure the Minister of Finance, we want roads, we want this, we want that. But he, in his prudence, must know what he can give, what he cannot give, what he can afford, what he cannot afford. I'm Minister for Communication and Works. In Conservative Ministry of Finance, I have bad roads in my constituency also. There are bad roads because as time goes on, a number of things happen. The road conditions deteriorate. The number of vehicles which come to St. Lucia are increasing. But more significantly, the weight of the vehicles are increasing significantly. And that impacts on the road in a very serious way, resulting in severe exponential deterioration. If a road is designed just as a small community road for cars and minibuses, and you put a 40-foot container low on the road, you see what happens. You see when the big trucks pass the road, what happens. And in all the construction, all the construction activity, you can see the result of it. You can see the way the pattern is changing and so on. And so we have a serious deficit to catch up on by way of roadworks. Mr. Speaker, however, I must say that we have relatively high standards in the ministry. We try our best in spite of the limited resources, and we have delivered, I think, on a number of roads. Let me just quickly create your indulgence and just put down some of the ones quickly which we've given major attention to. The Weavier Meter Road for $660,000. The Bogis Road for $250,000. The Bosinju Bridge Road for $1.3 million, to which the member for Newport North has already alluded. The Bus Road for $375,000. The Kumitown Road in Castries South for $641,000, which is currently ongoing. The New Dock Road for $910,000, currently ongoing. The Formelier Roads, subdivided into three subcontracts of about $250,000 each, giving a total of $653,000. The Van Amilet Road, $1.5 million. The Solvay Diga Road, $1.7 million. Also in Chouzel, the Maubouge Monsignor Road, $1.3 million. Mr. Speaker, it is evident and obvious out of all of us with bad roads, there is no constituency which has worse roads in terms of numbers than the constituency of Rosendale. That is where the developments are. Private developments, community roads, the size of the area, the number of houses, that's obvious. In terms of miles of roads. And so, a special program has been put in place for the Rosendale constituency, costing $4.13 million, and that includes attention to the Atsu Canal Road, the Edgewater Road behind the Bank of St. Lucia, the Mon Sepa Road, the Piakmin Road, Massad Road, the Bonne Road, the Mopazi Supplies Road, that's a residential area, not the one going into the commercial area, the Bonte Main Road, and the Ogier Lands Road, where a new road is being done.
Honourable Member, I do not want to interfere with your flow of roads.
I appreciate it.
May I remind you now that there are 5 minutes left to make your first half contribution.
Mr. Speaker, I beg to invoke Standing Order 3210 to enable the Honourable Minister for Communications and Works to spend a little more time talking about the roads in Rosalie. You've named 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 already. I'm hoping if he has more time, he'll name another 3. He forgot to be a Sikwi and a few others, Mr. Speaker. So I hope that the Honourable Minister for Communications and Works be given another hour to complete his presentation.
Honourable Member.
Don't forget to...
The question is that the Honourable Member for Babylon, sorry, that Standing Order 38, Sub Order 10 be suspended to allow the Honourable Member an additional 60 minutes to make his contribution. And now the question, as many are of that opinion, say aye.
Aye.
As many are of the contrary opinion, say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Honourable Minister, leave is granted.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I shall quickly move from roads, because everybody knows what roads they have in their constituencies. I forgot VCQ, but VCQ is one of the $4.13 million. And quickly, just go to the question of community infrastructure. We know in St. Lucia a number of persons, small communities and planned developments and so on, squatter communities, don't have access when the weather is bad. Persons actually have to have two pairs of shoes, one to come from their homes, walk through the very bad muddy areas to get to the main road and then change and so on. Under this government, all of this is a thing of the past as much as is possible, and so we have a number of programs dealing with this. And so the footpaths and the drainage and so on have been improved in a number of communities, small bridges and so on, Bernard Hill, New Village, parts of Marchand, every constituency has been touched. But that's not only being funded from local sources, it's also being funded by what is known as a second disaster management project. So it is a legacy of the previous minister in that ministry, where we do essentially two things. We look at disaster-prone areas where they want to put a little bridge over a ravine crossing, but where there are potential land slippages, or land slippages that actually happen, and we procure hidden baskets, put in some walls and so on, to ensure that poor people, their homes and their property can be protected. People can feel safe in their homes. And under that program, plus the money we have for community infrastructure work, we just have a whole set of those projects which are about to begin on the third element of this project. And quickly, let me just read to you, Entrepot, Castries East, there is a retaining wall, $70,000 towards Victoria Road, Cicero Castries, in Prale Miku, in Rayon Miku again, Sulphur Springs, in Soufre, the Dizé Ravine, there's a retaining wall, $56,000, Chopin Ridge in Castries Southeast, Ansley, Ansley Canaries, a retaining wall, $110,000, in Bois d'Orange, in Rosalie, there's the Box Culvert, at Timon Union, Montpanache in Dinry, Ravenclair in Soufre, a retaining wall for $63,000, in Garant, etc., etc., Mont-Didon, Caimogé, Bonté, Pavé, Drin, in Souzy, in Café, in Chauzel, in Bougis, Le Clary, Pavé Ravine, Olyon in Dinry, Bas-Saint-Joseph, Waterworks Road in Castries East, Anslavedi in Ancillary, Parkinson's Gap, etc., etc. Most of those projects are small mitigation works undertaken by this ministry in collaboration with the Ministry of Physical Development under the third disaster mitigation project. The projects which are about to begin, which are about to be awarded, are one for Hilltop, where some drains and a retaining wall, in Bougies, some additional drains and the wall, in Tikono, in Castries Southeast, searching of $72,000, the retaining wall, Sunny Acres, the Henry Adventist School, some drains, etc., in Bocage, and also in Lafay, in Talvan, in Sarot, all of those are retaining walls, costing ranging from $65,000 to $60,000. So, by way of helping persons, we will be expecting the arrival of the Gideon baskets pretty soon. So some $500,000 worth of Gideon baskets have been ordered. When those Gideon baskets arrive, we will now have to find money from local sources, because we've got to pay for the labor, pay for the stones to put into those Gideon baskets and those Gideon mattresses to ensure that those retaining structures are there. However, in the unfortunate or the unlikely event, if there is any natural disaster, we know the ministry, the government, will have a response mechanism to those natural disasters. Mr. Speaker, we have also some major capital works, three of which are ongoing at the moment. That is apart from the flood mitigation works. The TRRP, which is a project funded by the French with a specific objective of providing access to potential ecotourism sites. I happen to be fortunate in Babono to have two such sites. The Devar are still watching, and so we have a nice new road on this project coming from Lakwa Junction to Devara. We also, it's well known that we've got in Tetshime in Shase, in my constituency, an aerial tram project. So from the Farsor School up to the Tetshime Junction, under that program, there are two new roads specifically designed and built to facilitate the development of ecotourism. Mr. Speaker, that is a government which thinks, which plans. We're making noise about bananas again. All the nostalgia, looking back. Can we ever be able to compete in bananas when in Ecuador, those guys are smoking coca, those guys are getting a one peso. That is the wages they get. We are paying people here $40 to grow bananas. Even if the market conditions were favorable to us, when you pay somebody $40 and you arrive at work at 8 o'clock in the morning, and when it's 12 or 1 o'clock, they take their arusak and they go at their home, what kind of productivity you get, and how could you compete with Latin American bananas where people are getting 5 pesos a day? How? It is ridiculous. How? And so, we've re-engineered this economy, not just by building $1 billion worth of hotels, but also by looking at ecotourism. And everywhere where there is a potential at the community level, everywhere in every rural community where there is some potential site, the TRRP, this project, is ensuring that there is a road to that site, and therefore it is able to exploit it. That is the government of change. So the 50 people, the 50 young persons who would never have worked on a banana plantation in Shase in Tetshime, what do you call that? So when you displace the Christmas trees and you displace the bananas by the aerial tram, what you're doing is you're making the link between tourism and rural development. That's what you're doing. And that's the government of things. So under this program, there are holes to the roads. I've already mentioned those of Zimbabwe. But in the other constituencies, like in Miku North, the Mamiku Calypso Road, 1.4 million, 100% complete. Opposition, not hearing anything about that. The Mamu Cilian Road, 100% complete, $360,000. The Vole Mamu Road, $2 million, 95% complete, opposition territory. The Mamiku Loop Road, to go to the Mamiku Hotel and to go to other side there, Mamiku Gardens, 62% complete. The Buakano Road, 30,000 dollars, this isn't much. But this is the government that says there are objective criteria upon which we'll make a determination to build the road. And the criteria is that Mamiku Gardens is there, even if it is in opposition territory, we're going to build it. Beaufort North, Grace Roger, 1 million, 87% complete. Grace Royal Belgium, 2.3 million. Yes, banana territory, but there's a great water, there's a dry waterfall to which people go, and therefore the young people can be trained as tour guides in that community to welcome visitors on the new road. Simple. In Beaufort, the Moulin Chic Road, 1.7 million. Now that is fully complete because there is the site up there, there are the lookouts and so on, visitors can go there. Then Irad, 1.2 million, there was a bit of a hold up on this road because of the water pipelines. Mont Panache, Denry North, 500,000, it's a bit behind. When you finish with Denry South, as usual, we'll come for Denry North, as usual. Eh?
Yeah.
As you come for them. Okay. Eh? Chauzel, Sol de Brousse, Victoria, Martin, Montrouge, Les Riches, 2 million. Delphine, La Pointe, Les Riches, 3 million. Espérance, Ravineau, 500,000. And Eaton's Unionville, there's 1.5 billion. And three salaries, Millet Venus, 44,000. Millet Ketchimay, 391,000. St. Lawrence Estate, that will be not Norbidden under this program. But Anthony Villas, 1.9 million. Canary's Valley Road, there's the Anthony, etc. Shelly Forest here, that road had to be suspended. We have stop works because of the ongoing pipeline works for the water project. In the constituency of Berkeley, up in the north, the Wadowans Windjammer Road, costing $680,000, that is now completed, asphaltic concrete. The East Winds Road, to go to a small hotel and so on, making the linkage again to the tourism sector, $137,000, 100%. And the Laban, Moshideramo, and the Kazaba roads, all those roads have been done. In Soufre, on the lower, the Fossoise roads, Fosse Jacques, Diamond Soufre, $667,000. There is a bit of a hold-up on all three of those roads, the Fosse Jacques Mini, Chateau Belle, and the Fosse Jacques Diamond Road. So all of those roads, Mr. Speaker, are roads designed, funded by the French in order to give support to the development of eco-community-based tourism. Quickly, let me go to the East Coast Road. The East Coast Road is the first phase of 5 kilometers has been completed. That is between the Tomazo up to the Fondogui. But the second phase, costing some $20 million, there is work going apace as we speak and is going fairly quickly. There are 4 different gangs on that road. The drains are being done. Sidewalks will be put next to the Dexmoor School. And we also look at the possibility of pedestrian overpasses for that road because of the amount and the volume of traffic by school children. The West Coast Road, which was alluded to this morning, and the member for Soufre is quite right. If we could have afforded it, we would have made a greater allocation last year to oversee the road, because this road needs to be overseen. The secret of saving money, of ensuring that the roads don't fall into disrepair, is a question of a timely repairs of the road, a timely maintenance of the road, and that ought to have been done. So that is ongoing. We did some work last year to the tune of $350,000, and this year we have another $500,000, which is from Soufre, coming back to Kachimé to oversee the road. Castles Road, the highway, that is ongoing, that's going very well. Work has already begun. And all I would like to do here is to beg and implore the commuters on that road that we've tried to be as diligent as possible, we've tried to be as sensitive as possible to the traveling public. And so work on the road will not begin until 9 o'clock every morning. The works are going to be suspended at 3 o'clock to resume at 6 and continue to 10 o'clock in the evening. That is the best way for us to ensure that persons are not inconvenienced on duty. We start at 6 in the afternoon until 10 o'clock in the evening, so there will be a certain amount of night work. You will be hearing a lot about this road. We are putting in place a very comprehensive public relations exercise to ensure that persons are kept abreast on every aspect of this road. Sidewalks and road shoulders, Mr. Speaker, never before in the history of this country has so many sidewalks been built for schools, etc., etc., etc. We have deliberately taken a deliberate decision to put sidewalks, especially where there are schools, where there are commuters, where there are persons going to supermarkets, do their businesses, etc. So that is a comprehensive program at Corinth, the Impoletwizi, Union, La Clary, the Grosley Highway, etc., etc. So we've tried our best to ensure that people could move with a relative amount of safety going about their business from point A to point B. The farm access roads, there is a comprehensive program for that, $750,000. But the difficulty we've been having, and as a third successive budget that has come back to the House with a list of roads to be funded by the EU, by the AFD, and there are difficulties. The difficulties are related to St. Lucia. The difficulties relate to the whole ACP group of countries, because there are some difficulties in Africa. ACP, African Caribbean Pacific Group of Countries, and the EU cannot release the development funds if the African countries fall afoul of their procurement rules. So unless and until that is dealt with, we will always have to hold up. Hopefully, some answers, right, are forthcoming, and the NAO, the Office of the National Authorizing Officer, has told us that the $4.2 million for the farm roads will be released, we hope, in this budget. Minister of External Affairs, Petros Compton, recently attended a meeting in the Dominican Republic, and that's the word coming out of it. But in the meantime, whilst we have a dry season, the farmers want some relief. And so we have put in place a program, a skeleton program, $750,000, where we could participate by rental of equipment and also buying materials and work collaboratively with the farmers to ensure that we give them some relief on the farm roads. The farm roads are well known. They are in the 5 or 6 constituencies where there are farmers and who require relief. Bridges and culverts, that is ongoing, and we know that, as already been said, there are 3 major bridges which are going to be replaced, which are going to be built in farming communities in St. Lucia under the World Bank Disaster Management Project. Those bridges are at Bojis, because the farmers, when it rains, if you cut on the wrong side of a river at the Maki Estate side, you got to go all the way back through Gara, come back all the way down, and come back through a road called Mon Boko, and maybe you might be able to get home. If you are on this side, and it's a day to take your produce to market, after having toiled for 9 months to produce the bananas, it will not get to market because the bridge is impossible due to rain. That is going to be a thing of the past. The Mac Bridge and the Lovier-Tiwa Bridge, which the Honourable Member for Labri has been agitating for some time. Those 3 bridges have been designed, the tenders have gone out, and as of next week, we hope to be able to evaluate those tenders so that an award could be made for the start of works in June. Other bridges, the linear bridge is nearing completion, right? And what was there before had fallen into disuse. And so again the farmers, the same banana farmers, had to go all the way back through the Larissus Main Road and then to come back on the highway. Now this bridge is going to be there, it gets past the lapel and off they go, Mosquito, and off they go up the road. Also to be done this year under the bridges and road culverts is a new access bridge for the Pexon Primary School, which has been a cause of great worry for the ministry and for our homes at the time. Mr. Speaker, there are other programs. One of them is the caretaker program, and that has caused a whole host and a whole sort of consternation and criticism and questions, and justifiably so. The caretaker program, we cannot pretend. It has a dual function. It's not just meant to clean the side of the road. A number of persons do get some work. People have taken loans to buy their weed eaters and so on. But as you begin to prioritize, as you begin to slice that cake ever smaller and smaller, you've got to make critical decisions. And so the decisions have been taken over the past 18 months. Instead of dismissing or selling home some caretakers to alternate them every other month. This year, the revenue performance of the government has improved remarkably. It has improved beyond what we expected. It has improved beyond what we allocated. And so we have a double allocation for the caretakers. And so as of the month of May, the caretaker program shall resume to being a monthly program. So the caretaker, fwaya ku te kamar mu te caretaker. So kai tu bi travail tous les mois. An ti pou sa ta travail, yo mwa, ek lot mwa kaki. Te pis nou sa, lè la fi ka tombi, ek zeb la koumanse ka pousi mouti. Donc, on a mis tout le travail pour même l'argent. Ça n'a pas fait, ça nous a payé tous les mois pour nous faire faire. finally, in terms of the work of that aspect of the work, is the distilling of the drains and the rivers. The drains and the rivers have to be distilled, and there is a 1 million allocation for that as per usual. Just let me quickly say, that last year, in September, October, we took the decision, and it came partly in response to what was happening because of the lowering of Great Street. They had lowered the street, they repaved it, but the water was going nowhere. It was quite clearly that all of the drains of the city had been blocked, which is not a responsibility of the Ministry of Communications and Works. It is a responsibility of the Castro City Council. It is clearly beyond the capacity to do. And we went in and we cleared all of the drains. Had we not done that, Mr. Speaker, the heavy rains of October, we would have had flooding in the city of Castro. It was timely, it worked, I saved the country a lot of money, and this year I don't want to see rains come just for the sake of testing whether our drains are good, but I'm confident that with the 1 million we have, we shall go back in there, clear up all the drains and so on, and we are very confident that that's not going to be a problem. Finally, by way of the physical works of the ministry is the question of the flood mitigation works. Flood mitigation works in Castries and Ancillary to the tune of $11 million funded by the Caribbean Development Bank. The retention fund in the gardens, completed by the Chinese, that was done in November, 3 months ahead of time, and so we had some savings. There are, however, some difficulties with the utilities on the chaussee, and so we've had a stop-go. I have been advised, and I take this with a huge pinch of salt, that the road is going to be repaved next week. We will see. I've been given dates before, which I very foolishly go on foot and get myself in trouble. But the Jean-Baptiste Street drain, the chaussee road resurfacing, and the raising of a Darling, those other works are going to be taking place over the next month or so, and so there is a delay in the start of that project, particularly due to the utilities. However, Mr. Speaker, because of the savings that we saw, and because we looked at the project and realistically saw that the things which had to be done, unlike what you read in the Voice newspaper front page, it is not cost overruns on the drainage project. We deliberately put in some variations into the project. And let me introduce this by way of introducing my next topic. Because what we did is, if you are doing drainage, you're taking the water from Mondino through the Georgeville Canal into the major big retention pond in the gardens. It made sense at the time to line the drain and so protect the houses of the people in the neighborhood through which the drain passed. And so we instructed the engineer to cost it and add it onto the contract as a variation. The same thing happened with the outflow of water from the Calvary, flowing in the back of the Voice building and in the yard of the Methodist school, that we did those projects as variations over the project. So it's not cost overruns, there's a difference in them, which I'm going to come to in a while. The ancillary component will be completed in the next couple of weeks, from what I've seen, and I have reason to believe this. 12 new house blocks, right, have been created to replace people. The bridge is now completed, so persons who are traversing the West Coast can see it. And once again, because of the savings and the time and so on, we ask the contractor to do a variation and to take care of the playing field, to drain the area,
right,
and to realign the drain next to the playing field. So there is an additional cost, but those costs are deliberately put into the contract. In Vanries, there are also some flood mitigation works taking place in Vanries, 6.8 million funded by the World Bank. Vanries are Vanries Village. With 70% of that is now complete. The onshore works, which is putting a revetment or a rock face in the village, whilst there is some offshore works, which is putting an offshore breakwater, I'm saying, offshore go wash. en Amérique. So les hommes doivent venir, garçons ici gauche là, avec des millions de juifs, Monsieur le Speaker, à créer une difficulté encore, les lots de l'Union à venir. Pour ça, il faut un d'autres, il faut un homme fou, pour ça, tu veux.
Non, c'est pas lui qui
est mort, c'est pas le pacte. Eh, c'est mon qui est mort. So at the same time, the other component, which is the training of the two rivers, the Trualo River, right, and the Delhi River, the tendering is ongoing for this, and those projects will be done. There'll be some relocation, but we hope that in time the village of Delhi and the problems of flooding will be a thing of the past. And that was the progress. Part of the flood mitigation project mandated by the World Bank is a program of comprehensive education to ensure that best practices are adhered to, that persons don't dispose of their garbage indiscriminately in the ravines and so on, because that could result in great difficulty. Very quickly, Mr. Speaker, before I go to the thing, is the question of the vehicle weight control system. As I've said, the number of vehicles, particularly over 3-ton trucks, or some trucks, 15 tons and 20 tons on our roads, we have to put a regime in place somehow to control, especially the overweight on certain roads. The Caribbean Development Bank has always insisted that any future loan development for this country has to be tied in with the institution of putting in place of a vehicle access to weight control system to ensure that we protect those roads. And so there's an allocation of $1.5 million, which involves buying mobile scales and so on. So there'll be scales in, you know, in various parts of the island. There's really a whole regime and system of ensuring that that happens. Work on the establishment of a trailer park. We know what happens down in the Banan area with all the trailer beds there. That continues to be a hazard to on-passing traffic, and work is advanced along with Sastor in doing so. So, Mr. Speaker, that is essentially the work of my knowledge. Mr. Speaker, let me now turn to a matter which is quite topical and of great interest. And it's a question of the South West Coast Road, the road which is linking from Blackbeard to Sofia. All kinds of speculation, all kinds of pressures, and I think quite unfairly, because if there is one topic and if there is one minister who has been at pains in explaining at every turn exactly what can be explained at that time, it's me. I've been on talk shows explaining it. But you have the same talk show host come back and say, link it with corruption. Explain it. The Hansard of this Honorable House at the last budget session explained it and gave reasons. And government of signature has been open and transparent for the reasons. And actually killed the fact. And I shall go back and explain again, because there is nothing new to add except the price of the road. And I have given reasons why the price could not have been given at the time, and now it has been given. Now we have it. I explain why it could not give it then. Mr. Speaker, the government of St. Lucia embarked in 1998 with an ambitious program of roads development, RDP 128. This RDP 128 was predicated upon a number of pre-feasibility studies. It was agreed at the time that the worst of those roads which had to get priority attention was the road from Black Bay in Beaufort to Soufre. It was designed, or the study said, two separate contracts, RDP-1, RDP-2. However, by the time the road actually came to be tendered in mid-2000, there were some administrative problems involving the officials of the Ministry of Finance, resulting in a threatened court action by one of the tenderers in response to the process. The government in its wisdom at the time thought, instead of getting tied up in litigation over a process of tendering, it was better to go back and re-tender. Now that is significant, Mr. Speaker, on remembers. That is significant. Anyone who is familiar with the tendering process knows that in tendering for major civil works, there are two components. There is an envelope with the cost or the offered price of the works, and there is a technical evaluation in terms of a method of how you intend to respond to do the works. All of the tenderers in what is called a public bid opening are in attendance when the bids are being opened. So the aborted bid opening of 2000 exposed to every tenderer the price being offered by their competitors. The result of that first aberration or administrative difficulty was that when the project was re-tendered 1 year later, every contractor was pre-qualified by the CDB to put in a tender on the price of the project. Every tenderer on the price of the project, because they knew what their competitors were bidding. They on the price of the project. Problem number one. Let us look at some figures very quickly to illustrate that point. But why is this happening? Why is this happening? The road is deteriorating where it's written. That's a road design. Pre-feasibility 1998. When finally the second tender takes place and you begin and you open it, interestingly, all of the pre-qualified tenders except one, their price went down instead of going up. Following that, that's the road deteriorating exponentially over a four-year period. But instead of the tenders for the road, the big tenders going up, they went down. Except for one. One local tenderer went up. So the tenders range from 43 million, 45 million, 46 million, but that one tenderer put in a bid for 65.8 million. Is it any coincidence in this figure that firm is a local firm? One local firm among the pantheons of firms which were shortlisted by the CDB went up. It went up. Only firm went up. 65.8. Everybody went down with a road that is deteriorating exponentially over time. And all of that, Mr. Speaker, is that the engineer's original estimate, because when you are tendering, there must be a benchmark against which the evaluation process will take place. So the engineer's estimate that all things being equal, that job will take X number of days and 55 million to get it completed. That's the engineer's estimate at the price of 2000. At 2000 prices, the engineer's estimate, objective estimate, was 55 million. When you came to tender 1 year later, the local firm went to 65.8, and all the others went down. That is what's instructive. So we proceeded with a whole set of difficulty, second set of difficulty, in that the consultant engineers did not recommend the lowest tender to the Caribbean Development Bank. For a whole set of hosts of technical reasons, for a whole set of reasons of experience and local conditions, etc., etc. However, the Caribbean Development Bank insisted that according to its rules of procurement, the contract had to be given to the lowest tender. And so Lagan was, we were told we must give Lagan the contract. The government of St. Lucia stood its ground for 6 months while this road deteriorated for 6 months. same notion with the speaker or only members will recall the circus in the media, engine for political leaders that join newspapers, the government wants to bob all, it must be the lowest tender at the job. Rock the Caribbean Development Bank, it must give it to the lowest tenderer. And we said no, because we know that there are technical difficulties in that. But the Caribbean Development Bank is bound by certain laws. So much so, that in order to resolve the impasse, the Caribbean Development Bank dispatched its team of technicians. Firstly, asked that the whole tender process be reviewed by the consultants. That was done, the same result. They came and they had a review done and they offered the government of signature at their own expense three possible firms to review the tender process and their own procurement rules. A Canadian firm, a British firm, and an American firm. The bank said, you choose any one of them. That's a dispute. We want to give it to X according to our procurement rules. You say you and your consultants have difficulty with X. But only thing we could use counsel alone, or let us get a way to resolve this. In pursuit of a resolution, we had got a firm of SNC-Lavalin International of Toronto, did an evaluation, and said that according to the prevailing rules of a Caribbean Development Bank, a contract had to be given to LAGA. And so we had no choice, given to LAGA. But all that time, Mr. Speaker, all that time, the weather pattern is deteriorating, the road is deteriorating, and it's getting worse. Project went on for some time. We were not happy. We had expressions of doubt, but we were never happy. We kept monitoring it. We kept worrying about it. Until the Prime Minister, then nobody asked us to do it. Prime Minister Kennedy Anthony wrote to the Caribbean Development Bank and said to the Caribbean Development Bank on his own initiative that I want you to send a team of experts to review the progress on the Southwest Coast Road. The CDB, Professor Compton Bond, duly dispatched the team and the team came and began to look at the roads. The findings of that team, that review team, Mr. Speaker, is not new, because we said it was quite benign. It had one or two little administrative problems. It was a quite benign report. And it explained in great detail exactly what the problems were. It gave us guidance in going forward and explained that the road would in fact have significant cost overruns because of a number of reasons. And let me go through those reasons again. It bears repeating. It started by saying that the contract is 12 months. The original contract is 12 months. However, because of a number of difficulties, significant among them is that there were problems with the utility companies in identifying exactly where the cable ducts were. And the new water pipelines had been put in the road, plus the terrain of where the road was, that realistically, that project should have been 24 months. It's Caribbean Development Bank, that we gave a contract for 12 months. And it says that significantly, it really should have been, given the location and terrain of the roads to be reconstructed, as well as traffic management requirements, weather patterns, and the merging of the work requirements of RDP contracts 1 and 2 into a single contract, the original contract period of 12 months was overly optimistic. A more realistic contract period would have been 18 months. And then he goes on to say, had extensive telecommunications cables and water supply pipelines been documented and allowed for during the design. An additional 6 months would have been appropriate, making a realistic total contract period of 24 months. So there we have a fiber development bank telling you upfront that because of what has happened, because of deterioration, because of a number of factors, that the contract really should have been a 24-month contract. Mr. Speaker, you're designing a major road. People live along the road. We know how informed people are, how involved and participatory our communities are. They call, they ask questions, and I attended a number of host of community meetings. At those community meetings, people were making what were realistic demands, realistic requests, and the bank says it here that people, the designs and drawings produced by the consultants are some elements of the work. For example, access to residences and businesses were not sufficiently detailed, etc., to allow proper pricing by the contractor during the bidding process. And so we know, what do you do? You've got to react. You've got to give people access. It is their taxpayer money. You can't have people disenchanted. You can't have people unhappy. And the bank recognizes that. And so that's another element of a cost. The first element of a cost, of course, as I've said, is the very quality of the road and the change that we made with respect to the pipeline. Because if you're building a road and Wasco keeps coming, to you, justifiably so, while you're down there and you're digging this road, you better seek a way to get a variation to the contractor and give another contract to put in the valve boxes and the 18-inch pipeline. It makes perfect sense. Why should you see the road, finish the road, and then come? And therefore you add a variation to it. The same thing is happening with the Castries Grove Highway. When you redesigned and tendered for the Castries Grove Highway, there was a certain price. The ministry is not Wasco. We were not aware that there was a 14-inch pipeline coming back south as a distribution line. But after discussion with Wasco, Wasco said, yeah, there's a 14-inch pipeline. But more than that, you better investigate it, because we have reason to believe it is a corroded old iron pipeline. You better take it off. And therefore, what did we do? The government of St. Lucia, not the Security Fund loan, came back and is seeking a variation to the contract to allow for the installation of a 14-inch pipeline on that contract. It's no different here. But in St. Lucia, everything that you do to a contract is cost overruns, because it's somehow entered into the popular domain. Mr. Speaker, there are, however, aspects in the project which are cost overruns. There are. And those, the distinction between the additions, which are the entrances, etc., the retaining walls, the new ones which are not accounted for, the telecom lines which were cost and added to the contract, they are. And those arise particularly by things that are beyond our control. Firstly, the road was being constructed at a time of great volatility in the price of crude. At the time of the design of the road, in 1998 to 1999, a barrel of crude cost $20 US. By the time of the award, a barrel of crude had moved up to $24 US per barrel. By 2004, a barrel of crude had gone up to $40 US. And therefore, by completion, whenever time, 2005, 60, today is 70, and climbing. What are we supposed to do with industrial development in China, driving up the price of steel, and everything that's going into this road, what are the contractors supposed to do? What is the ministry supposed to do? What is the government supposed to do? Because you've given an award for a road based on a particular price, a particular time. And the price of those inputs have quadrupled out of all bounds. Now what are you supposed to do? Search our memories and think over the patterns. We have a dry season this year for the first time in 4 years. This year, there is a dry season for the first time in 4 years. And look at the mean figures for rainfall in February 2002. The mean over a 15-year period is 80 inches of rain. For the month of February. That's what I say, mean. Tobacco points it out for you, mean. Right? 2002 February, 196. The mean for April, which is the 12-month mean right now, 82 inches of rain. That's the mean over a 15-year period. In 2002, 224 inches of rain. And the story goes on. Millimeters. And the story goes on. That is George Charles. You take it to your new airport. Sorry, Mr. Speaker. Millimeters. And the same thing goes on. The same pattern continues. For April, from your neuro, 58 millimeters of rain. That is the mean. At that time, 186 millimeters of rain at the same time. Now, Mr. Speaker, we have to bear in mind, when you award a contract to a contractor for major civil works, you are assuming that there are going to be dry days when work can be done. Because when it rains, like it rained in this period, all of the fixed costs of the contractor, all of the fixed recurring costs remain, because the contractor still must be paid. His office must still run. The rental for his staff and his office and his crew must still go. The only things which are stop running on the day it doesn't work are the consumables like petrol, etc. But everything else runs. And remember what you said. You said, the Caribbean Development Bank said, that the contract properly was 24 months, not 12 months. And so it's not surprising that contract, which began at 547 days, awarded, had an additional 402 days. Another reason for the cost overruns, and I'm trying to disaggregate this from the variations that gives you deliberate, was the question of a borrow pit. A borrow pit, Mr. Speaker, is when you excavate the road and you take off the bad part of the road, after the foundation has deteriorated. So the stone turns into mud. That is why you have potholes. Over time, the stone turns into mud. You take off this mud, don't make sure it's straight away. You must get appropriate material, good new material to put into it. That material that you go and pick from somewhere to replace the material, that is borrowed material. And the quantity of borrowed material anticipated at the time of design and award went up 4 times when the road was actually being done. And so the expectation that there would be some fill and cut, that is, you would cut the road a little bit more on one side, take off some of the spoil, and take that and fill the road, that the fill and cut, as anticipated, could not meet the demand for that road. Well, you may say so if you want. But don't forget you're doing the time. That was a 4-year period. All you. Did you want to go back and put a design up, start a new design? Would you want to do that? You are talking about a design over a 4-year period. So you now have to go and haul materials over a long period, as far away as Niku, to come back over a long distance, all the way from Niku to come back and to build this road. So I'm saying the road was fraught with difficulties, there are difficulties, we acknowledge there were difficulties, and I have explained ad nauseam, and the Caribbean Development Bank does in fact explained all of it in the letter. The consultants came and they explained everything at the same way in the letter. Mr. Speaker, in bringing this thing to some kind of a closure, let me just make two observations quickly. And the observations are that in paying for this contract, the split is 80% by the Caribbean Development Bank and 20% by the government of St. Lucia. So let me assure you, Mr. Speaker, and members, that of the government's 20%, that money went towards consultancies, project-related management costs, and the interest payments for settlement of late payments. The 80% from the Caribbean Development Bank for that project never came through the Treasury or the government of St. Lucia or any of its agencies. So when people start to cost overruns because of bubble and corruption and so on, let me repeat this, Mr. Speaker. Caribbean Development Bank, through an ad load, which we're negotiating right now, is paying 80% of the value of the project directly to the contractor without it ever passing through the hands of any candidate. So after verifying that there is value for money, mean what they said, there is value for money in the road, and anybody could do any audit. Any oil and go and check it out. Hurry away, go and check it out and see. And bank is saying there's value for money. It's prepared to give the ad loan. Okay. Second point is why the delay. Mr. Speaker, where a contractor has deliberately underpriced the project, he looks for every reason to make claims and to recover those funds. And we will be very foolhardy. And they know that. They know that you do not settle claims willy-nilly or begin to bandy numbers about whilst you're negotiating. I won't tell you what they were claiming for. They were claiming for considerably more than we paid them. But you have to go back there with a file to come and say everything. Is this justified? Is this not justified? And it was a very painful and protracted and focused exercise of verification. So why can you tell us? Because there's bubble. That is usual. That you have a long time and your consultants sit down before you get the final cost. Having said all of that, Mr. Speaker, let me get to the final cost of the road. The final cost of this road, Mr. Speaker, let me get the appropriate figures for you, is as follows. That, as I said before, and I think it is instructive, that an original award for a 12-month contract on the road for $43,750,000. However, the contract lasted twice the amount of time as verified and expected and justified by the Caribbean Development Bank. One of the bidders, local bidder, bid $65.8 million. Engineer's estimate of $55 million. When you measure all of the works over time, measured works for the contract, that comes to $69,179,343.54. That is the measured works. And that's instructive. The proximity between those three figures is instructive. The measured works, the engineer's estimate, and the more realistic bid price of the contractor who was not underpricing. Those three figures have a certain proximity about them. However, when you take all the other claims, the prolongation claims, extensions for insurance, because you have double the time in terms of 12 months, delay disruption for rain, etc., etc. It adds additional 30 million to the roads, which is really what you're talking about in terms of cost overruns. And therefore, the final figure for the cost of the road is $99,791,745.62. But that is the price of the road.
Honourable member, the end of your road is nice.
But yes, I want to... 15 is my constituency. 15 is just my constituency. I'm done with that.
The speaker, I thank you for standing order 3210 to allow the Honourable Minister for Communications and Works an additional 15 minutes within which to complete his presentation.
Honourable members, the question is that standing order 32 sub rota be suspended to allow the Honourable member an additional 15 minutes to make his contribution. I now put the question, as many are of that opinion say aye. As many are of the contrary opinion say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Honourable Minister, leave his blessing.
So, Mr. Speaker, finally in this regard, having had the account, having had this process certified by the Caribbean Development Bank, because obviously they wouldn't be. They would not appeal and approve if they were not happy, if they were not satisfied. So that is the end of it. The road is there. I think people are very proud of the road. I see a very large Chauvel contingent there. And so they should be very proud of their road. Built at great expense, but that is the reality. Everybody who has built anything, be it a house, be it a fowl cage, would know in these times that things don't come cheap. And that has been explained by the honorable member for Catherine East. Cost overruns is nothing new. I mean, there's a whole book on cost overruns on projects. At the previous time, when nobody asked any questions and there was no accounting, I have sought to hide nothing. I have sought every stage, as many as a year ago, to explain everything, and even to send the CDB report to the bank. Journalists have been given the report. You read it and see, because there was nothing to it. The summary of the points from the Caribbean Development Bank. The reasons. Absolutely the front is the voice. The reasons of the cost, yeah? It's been there? No. It's been there. The contents of that letter has been in the public domain. It's been in the public domain. The front page of the voice has been on other talk shows. It's been there. Mr. Speaker, let me quickly, in the 15, 20 minutes available to me, just quickly run through. The Babuno constituency are people who I have honored to represent. Mr. Speaker, the first issue I wish to address is the question of the house anxiety. But if I put my business out, the man exposed me, the man named me by name, put his string at me, then go and read the law, etc. Anyway, Mr. Speaker, the house tax regime, man, that was causing a lot of consternation problems, man. I was going to walk on, the house tax, so that was a real problem. And one is not sure whether the public servants entrusted with this task. Yeah, maybe we're engaging a little bit of mischief or whether it is just that they don't care and insensitive. But people were very much concerned, very much afraid. I mean, somebody, a farmer with a decline of banana industry, 60 years old, and you come measuring their homes and so on and tax, they were very concerned. So let me quickly say, in this budget, the Prime Minister explains that COCOPS, EcoRV, NIS, large NIS, pour arriver, soit pour avoir pension, pour pas qu'il y ait PS tax à ce cas. si vous êtes jeune monde en Jésus, et que le premier cas vous achetez, M. Speaker, pour espérer vos valeurs. Je parle souvent, l'aime en Grèce là. Si vous avez un gros bidim, vous avez un gros bagage. Mais si c'est un monde en jeune genre, un young couple, vous voyez.
Pourquoi?
Personne qui l'a joué par l'année en bas $6,000. $6,000 vous voyez. Pour aller faire vos cartes à venir, pas vous effet. Pour ça qui fait une misère qui est là, on doit misérer Kayo, c'est Kaya qui va finir. Et pour ça, le gouvernement qui est tenu, le gouvernement ça là, c'est pas Kaya qui fait ça. Dans le fouet. So, having gone that out of the way, let me quickly run through some things to my constituency. Yes, Mr. Speaker, my colleague on my side there has taken excellent care of me. The health center at Kwakot has one is very completion, and there's a big party sometime in the middle of this opening. The campus station next to it, which still loads its football course except guys when it's smoke dope and just land and so on. Look at it, Mr. Speaker. But we ensure that the one or two homes which depend on the campus station, we now have a free connection from us for five of them, including Bruna Kayo up here. So how many of you think you are? It's nobody blue. Connection pour y avec nos croisés de compétition là, avec nos frontières qui étaient là, et là, il devient le parking du Nivel Center. C'est le net en France. This year, the second phase of the Babolo Health Center under BNTF of the IRS, BNTF shall begin. So in terms of health care, the Lager outpost, Babolo Health Center Phase 1 and Phase 2 to come, and the Foster Health Center with nice parking and everything to be operated. USC and the fire. What shall you mean Babolo have in the world? But myself, Mr. Speaker, that the Muna Pisadu avec Yoni pressure. Look at Alex, avec Makai Madil, Minister Greaves, avec Jean Lopital, Neil Gasper, etc., etc. Si on gêne au comité en place, pour ça nous a testé les autres, et que nous autres avons bénéficié de ça, pour filer les autres, nous mettre les autres dans le groupe. Education, Mr. Speaker. Under the World Bank retrofitting of schools, we would like you to get two schools with us. The Foster School, an old wooden building from the ECA regime, has a whole new roof. As we speak, the Babolo Combine is similarly being retrofitted. But additional routes are also being done by way of linking the various bridges, the various buildings with overhead bridges, etc., etc. So those schools should be in a fairly good state of repair come the next school year. But more than that, Mr. Speaker, the Foster School has been long-suffering, and they deserve that new 8-classroom block being funded by the CDB through the BNTF, designs of which are in advance well already gone out. And the tenders shall soon be evaluated, and we hope that before the end of the year that this school building would have been not only started but be completed. So that takes care of Foster School. Mr. Speaker, from our own efforts, the Babolo Primary School is truly proud of our school, our principal, our staff and so on, doing very well in music. We have two teachers with first class honors degrees in music, Bachelor Mrs. Biru. And in recognition of this great effort in the field of music, along with school principals, we approached Chinese Embassy and we've given us a whole orchestra, Mrs. Biru. Something with a whole orchestra. Band, sax, trombone, so we have. Absolutely. Almost the Republic of Babolo. So we have all. Bridges and causeways are already alluded to the work being done under the World Bank project, small mitigation works. And for instance, some of those I was quickly want to go, I've already spoken to the bridge at a budget for which the farmers really require to allow them to take their fruits to market. But we did a number of smaller bridges. One at Timon and another at Des Avenants completed last year. Mr. Speaker, there's a major drainage problem in the Bouches area where the water from all on top of the hill as far up as Savanaho comes down, drains through the village, causing a problem, and that contract has been awarded, and I think work should have started this week. If not the next week, work will start on that major drain to make sure that the persons living there don't have that problem anymore. Housing assistance to the aged. We continue every year to give assistance. Our approach is somewhat different. We get the material, and through local collaboration and support and cooperation, we do go and build those houses and so on for the people. So we hope that those persons who are waiting in the queue from last year, that this year, given increased allocation, they shall get some housing assistance. Sale assistance to the elderly. I've already alluded to this, that persons who expect real estate assistance and so on to buy their drugs and so on, their medication, that's something we could say. Tourism. Mr. Speaker, the much heralded Ariel Trump project. And you know what is amazing in this period that we are in? Is the propaganda on the ground. The propaganda, the talk, and you know, Swamun, Jababo, what you said, this is a place where I am from now. Swamun. Swamun, that is a bad from now. We are from now, we are where Saki Trina, we are where Saki Tamasila, we are where the Swamun Babo, Trin, my first of all. It's a Swamun. Swamun. My father said, can you give you a sort of your focus of my mom? Trauma. Oh, right. Oh, right. I'm going to be a job with him from this. In terms of sports, Mr. Speaker, we know we have an increased allocation of $3.5 million this year, and we shall be fighting as hard as possible to ensure that we get an increased allocation, something to be done. Absolutely, anytime. Mr. Speaker, the long delayed Balatam multi-purpose court, always a dream of mine, that persons coming up the road, reach by Angus there, that multi-purpose court could stop, have a game, young people could come and so on. Unfortunately, again because of the European funding problems, that project was delayed. But the Minister of Finance, in recognition of the difficulties, has stepped forward and has made an allocation from local sources to finish that project. And the contractor, who has already been awarded, should have resumed work to finish that project. At the same time the project is being done, we hope to alleviate the problems of drainage, which is at the back of the old existing competition, old frenet should be broken down. And that will be tied in to a place in the area to ensure that there's an adequate system or location for solid waste disposal. That remains a challenge even in the Babylon area. A number of communities do not have adequate service by way of solid waste disposal. And so we hope to look at this. But from the $3.5 million, Mr. Speaker, allocation, there is one community which deserves and needs a playing field. And that community is the community of Gara. Mr. Speaker, in Babylon Central, there is a small area which is like a half field. It's not even a full field, half a field. The two other major, three other major fields in this large constituency of Babylon are Tronçon, which we're currently working on to put back into use after it was loaned out to the Amtrum. The Balata playing field, which we share with Castries, share Grosley, we share everybody, is very generous. Police come and play everybody, National Field Association, right in the Balata playing field. You cannot truly be said to belong to Babylon. The other playing field we have is way back in the back at Debara. And so anywhere between that, of Lakwa, of Tuhetedi, of Gara, of Regina, there is need for playing field. And so in the Ford project and some of the areas around there, we will be working with the Department of Frontlands to identify appropriate lands for acquisition, and from the $3.5 million increase allocation, Mr. Human Cost, I want to tell that, we will be making a request for consideration to the Gara community with the policy. This because I won't be much longer. Don't call me, please. We have another project which is a grant from the Chinese government, which is to do a number of infrastructure works given to us. And under that project, we have already begun to work with the Kanyel's Lanfor community, who has a source of water from that source here coming down. And some of the water is used for farming irrigation and some for domestic use. And we figure if we can put 6,000 gallon tons in the community, teach them how to clean the water themselves, they can have their own little domestic community managed water supply, independently of Wasco, under that, the Wasco, under the Chinese. Part of our funding also will be used to rationalize some footpaths in what is called the secondary area in Fawasso itself. So in Fawasso proper, there are some houses, some unplanned development, probably a bit, chalk and block, mud between the houses. We'll use some of this money, $25,000 of it, to put some footpaths so people can have some dignity and some pride and enhance the environment where it is. At the same time, Mr. Speaker, under our footpaths and road shoulders allocation, we shall build a sidewalk opposite the Fawasso school, linking it back to the community center, so that when you are in Fawasso, you will walk there for a certain amount of pride, some amount of dignity, for a certain amount of safety. Because you now have Baba Green on this road there, so nice and so smooth, Mr. Speaker. This bus is running so fast there that you need to safeguard the children and so on. And so we start the Catherine shop, the other Catherine, and go right through and take that road back to the community center by putting a small sidewalk so children could think very quickly. Land rationalization. There are three essential things that we've got to do. Savannah Hall, which is a privately owned development of 123 houses in the Babano constituency. So housing now comes to Babano in order to give people jobs, both in construction and in terms of housekeeping and so on. So there is a private developer who wants to rationalize a piece of land which he owns and by putting in 123 houses. But the problem, Mr. Speaker, is that on the boundary of the land, the southernmost boundary of the land, nearest to the Bojis community itself, there are persons residing on this land and it's in dispute. And by way of resolving that dispute, it was agreed that those persons would be, the state would be given the land on which the persons are. We would accept it, survey it, subdivide it, and give all the persons there title to that land. So I think that was a very generous, a very magnanimous gesture on the part of that developer to resolve that issue. 200 acres of land at Debara, we had offered it during the campaign before my time, since the time of Kenneth David John, 30 acres. But the previous government, to the credit, already had a cabinet conclusion to dismember 200 acres from the Grunert estate for community purposes, land development, housing, etc., etc. So we're standing to this. We're standing by this. And the Alan Buske decision from years back, we are going to be taking, Colin have been told, to take 200 acres of land from the 2,000 acres already been approved. We just waiting for physical development to take that land so young farmers, etc., etc., can get land. Mr. Speaker, the number of roads we know in our constituency, which are bad, but people might think that because we are the Minister for Roads, we don't have bad roads, we do have bad roads. And we will be taking care of them during this period, we will dialogue, we will make pronouncements, but in the interest of time, we will leave us alone, help between the Babylon people and myself in terms of which road we see and so on.
Let me show you something for me.
Two things very quickly in finality, Mr. Speaker, is that under the same Chinese community grant, we shall make available $30,000 to the British Mothers and Fathers Group for the rehabilitation of the Mothers and Fathers Hall. But the condition is attached. First condition, it must be made available to the youth for their meeting and to play the table tennis, etc. And secondly, they must work with the preschool services to establish a much needed preschool in the British community. So the hall requires $60,000. I have 30 from the Chinese. I will speak to my colleague, Social Transformation Minister, for the other 30. I know she'll take care of me, and then we shall redo the Burgess Hall. Alright? Then the Nemo disaster satellite sites, Babono has one. The award has been made. So next to the multipurpose center at Babono, there shall be the Nemo satellite site being constructed. Finally, Mr. Speaker, under the UNEP Community Small Grants Project, a new computer, only a computer and a printer, will be placed or given to the young people of the Fuatau community who attend secondary school. So on evenings, they don't have a computer at home, they can access the internet, they can do their homework, etc., etc. Are we talking about that? The computer is right next door, they now have to speak. So that is going to be given pretty soon. So, Mr. Speaker, that is what I promised when I was voted into office. That I would try my best, I would use my skills and my experience in the areas of community development, of NGO work, of understanding where to source other resources. I would work collegially with my other ministers and so on to ensure that the best representation is given to the people of Babylon. As we approach the period of renewal, we'll talk some more. The footpaths and so on that needs to be done, not all of them will be done. The roads and so on which require attention, not all of them will get attention. But Mr. Speaker, I think the people of Babono, in the end, I think generally can sit down and say, finish their Chateau life. I think they can say that in Chateau life. So, in conclusion, Mr. Speaker, I shall take my leave. And to say that in Babono, sensitive people, very smart people, it's not when you run around all over the place, toof, that you're going to get anything done. You must go very sensitively, you must go very easily. Don't just go, not so. You must go quietly, sensitively, collaboratively and so on. And, we'll talk about corporate some of the time. So, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I will actively support the provisions in this supplementary estimate, and I take my seat. I love it.